You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Rachel Daly tries the left-footed curler, and she finds the upper corner. Daly makes it two for the dash.
Well, that was a pretty spectacular goal from Rachel Daly of the Houston Dash. 2-1 winners over the Chicago Red Stars. That goal is voted at ESPN as the play of the day, I believe. So that one took notice. Now, that's what you call advertising for the NWSL and the Houston Dash. Rachel Daly, she joins us now. Rachel, thank you very much for coming in studio.
Yeah, no worries.
All right, so you're a busy young lady here. You're coming in here. I think you might have just come from doing a clinic. Is that correct?
Yeah, I had a one-on-one training session with a little 10-year-old.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're out there. It's important, I think, that all of you are out there the way you are because this is the way to bring people to the stadium, right, to be involved in the community from a soccer perspective.
Yeah, definitely, and I think it's great for the kids to have role models. You know, it's nice for them to be with people like the Dash players so they can have female role models and you know, they look at us week in, week out and see what we can do. And, you know, we try and replicate that for the kids. And I think it's definitely important for them to be involved with us and interacted.
So let's talk a little bit about what was a spectacular goal. I love the fact that your change of direction left a U.S. international in the dust, Casey Short. But then you wrap your left foot around this. You use both feet on this goal. There's so many coaching points you could bring out of this. Just maybe kind of take us through the moment, describe it. And by the way, if you want to see Rachel's goal, it's up on Facebook Soccer Matters as well. We have it up there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Casey's a great defender. I've played against her a lot. She's obviously very well respected and very, you know, a very great, solid defender. So it's always tough going against somebody like that. But, you know, I tried to go down the line a little bit with her. She showed me one way. You know, the opening wasn't on for me to hit it. I've been working a lot with Beast Mode Soccer in my off season, so for me it was great to go out there and put that, you know, into practice. And been working a lot on separation touches and different types of finishing. So for me, obviously, left foot doesn't really faze me. You know, some people are a little less uncomfortable on their left foot, but for me, you know, if it's on for my left foot, I'm going to hit it. But yeah, she showed me down the line. The angle wasn't right for me, so I thought the best thing to do was cut it back inside. The way she showed me, obviously, I used the outside of my foot to take it the other way, and it left an opening at the far post. And honestly, when I hit it, I thought it was going to hit the bar. I thought it was going to be one of those things that might hit, you know, the stanchion. But no, I was really happy when it went in.
All right. To the young listeners that may potentially be out there, talk about how much time you spend on finishing. And you talked about separation, which I'm going to translate into as a striker, creating your own chances, because not all strikers can do that.
Right.
The strikers are come in different shapes and forms with different qualities and strengths. The ability to create your own chance like that, that takes practice. And, of course, ultimately executing does as well. How much time do you spend on that?
Well, in my off-season, obviously, we have a long gap. It's usually from October right the way through till preseason in March. So, you know, there's a long time. This off-season, I made the decision to not really play for a club, like go over to Australia or anything. I wanted to work on a lot of things I needed to work on individually. I was in and around the England national team. So I was training with, again, David at Beast Mode Soccer, and I would spend 2, maybe 3 hours a day on different types of training. You know, a lot of footwork, a lot of technical work, ball work, you know, replicating movements from games that I'd watched, Champions League games, Premier League games, women's international games. You know, I do a lot of analysing my own game as well. So, you know, I spent a lot of time every day. And then again, finishing was a big thing for me, different types of finishing. You know, I think last season I didn't score enough goals. I wasn't happy with just 4 goals. In my college career, I scored a lot of different types of goals, but predominantly a lot in and around the box. Almost like what they would say is scrappy goals. So I think I wanted to broaden my horizons and get a bigger range of finishing. So obviously the last 2 goals I've scored for Houston have been quite good goals. So it's quite new for me for those different types of finishes. So, you know, it just shows that the work that you do put in, you can replicate in games.
Isn't the beauty of this, though, that teams and individuals around the league are going to go, hey, Rachel Daly's a threat from long distance.
Yeah.
And maybe you find some space behind him then. I mean, that's the beautiful thing of having a couple of weapons in your artillery, right?
Yeah, exactly. I like to say it's your little book of tricks. So I like to add to that every now and again. Yeah, definitely. I think it's great because, you know, the best thing about being a forward is you can be unpredictable. And the ones that are unpredictable turn out being the best players. So hopefully, you know, I think keep working on it and get different ranges of finishing, different types of movements, and you know, it's going to pay off.
Rachel Daly joining us in studio. Houston Dash, their next game at home is Saturday, May 13th. They'll take on Sky Blue. I'm going to give some tickets away in a little while, so be ready for that. Harrogate, England, that's where you were born. How does growing up in an English soccer culture affect a young lady? Because, look, Carly Lloyd's going over there, right? And one of the things she says is, I want to be in that full-blown priority soccer culture that doesn't compete with three other traditional sports.
Yeah. Football, as we refer to it as, is obviously huge. England. It's all I was ever, all I'd ever known growing up. I have a brother and my dad. They both played. My dad almost made it pro, but he suffered a serious injury before he was going to go pro. So, you know, I was in around him every week watching him play. I was playing with my brother. And I'm very competitive. So, you know, it was, I think it stems from them. And I never wanted my brother to beat me at anything. You know, I wanted to always make sure I was better than him. And he'll probably tell you otherwise, but
Sorry, we're not interviewing him tonight. Next week.
Exactly. So, no, obviously it was great. I was at soccer games every single week, twice, three times a week, you know, between my brother's games and my dad's games and my training sessions. And it was just something I just knew that I only ever wanted to do. I used to do PE at school and I did it with the boys. I didn't want to do hockey. You know, I didn't want to do netball, what we call it in England, and rounders and weird cricket and little sports like that. I wanted to play soccer and that was it. So for me, it's all I've ever known. And it was such a, like, I was like in a, I would say a football bubble, like you just referred to it. It's one of those things and it is a culture. It becomes a part of your life. It's like a religion to me. I practice it. I've done it. I've kicked it ever since I can remember. So it was huge. Absolutely massive. And I'm so glad that I was raised in that environment.
You've had like a lot of the ladies, you've had an interesting kind of timeline here to get to where you are right now. You played at St. John's in New York. By the way, my great childhood friend was Dave Major, who's the men's coach there.
I love
we
Dave.
Grew up in the same part of New Jersey. But, you know, you've been on a number of different clubs. This hasn't been an easy journey. I mean, you've been a lot of different places, and I'm sure you took enjoyment in all of these stops on the way, but it's not necessarily the easiest journey either, is it?
No. And I think the biggest thing for me was making the decision to go and play in college. I was 20 when I came out, so a lot older than most. I had to sit my freshman year. I was ineligible because of that reason. I'd been out of school for, I think it was 2 years when it could have only been one. But, you know, Coach Ian Stone gave me that opportunity and put everything into making it work. Probably gave him every grey hair in his head in the process. But no, I think that was the biggest decision for me to leave and go into an environment that I had no idea about. Completely different country. The big city of New York. And I think that was the biggest thing that I faced along the way was that.
Yeah, Jamaica, Queens is a pretty urban place.
It's a lot different from little town of Harrogate in England, yeah. No, but I think it's made me who I am now. I think I had to deal with a lot being alone, away from family, not being able to travel with the team, only being able to
train. How tough was that?
It was rough. Honestly, there was times when I wanted to just give up and go home. I looked at myself, I was like, what are you doing? Like,
when you were at that point and you were close to saying, I'm just jacking and I'm going home, what stopped you from going over the edge and saying, I'm getting on a plane and leaving?
My family, they really pushed me to stick it out. You know, it would have been easy to go home. And I know a lot of people that have done that. A lot of English girls that have gone out to college and not enjoyed it and gone home. And I just thought, you only get one chance at this, so why not give it your all? You know, and that's what I did. I stuck it out and ended up making some best friends for life from the school. Ended up making connections that I'll never forget. And just playing freely. I think that's when I started to enjoy soccer the most in my life. I started to really enjoy it, really play for my team, really play for myself. And it was great. You know, and St. John's is a small school and they've never been really on the radar. They've never been high up on the map. So for me, it was something I wanted to achieve and help, you know, Coach Ian Stone get on that map and get the credit and the recognition that that school and that program deserve. So for me, that was one of the biggest things. I really wanted to make it a test for me and a challenge. And I do think it matured me in many ways off the field too. So it was tough, but, you know, it was something I wanted to do. And then again, I think leaving St. John's, I was torn between whether I wanted to go home and play in the WSL or stay and play in the NWSL. And it was only, I think, when I'd really spoke to Randy, which was in like November time, December. So my season had finished at St. John's and I was so unsure what I wanted to do. And then I spoke to Randy and he sort of made my mind up. He sold Houston Dash to be, you know, such a fantastic organisation and a fantastic club to be in and a great place to be. And that was it. It sold it for me and I couldn't be happier in being here.
Yeah, he didn't tell you about the weather, right?
He definitely
didn't. Not in the cell. The weather didn't come in the cell. But back to what you just said, is it important? Do you seek out opportunities, Rachel, to do things that aren't comfortable? In other words, to improve yourself as a player? Because it's real easy to try and take the path that seems easiest, but there are times when you have to put yourself in these places where you aren't comfortable if, in fact, you truly want to grow.
Exactly. I totally agree with that. For me, I think putting myself in a challenging environment is what makes me who I am. I think if it's easy, I get lost. You know, I lose my way a little bit. I get comfortable and, you know, I don't like being comfortable. I think being on my little slogan that I do like to live by is be comfortable with the uncomfortable. So it's sort of getting to that point where you can adapt to whatever environment you're in and you're always going to face adversity. No road's an easy road. But when it starts to get easy is when I think it starts to get tough. So for me, I like that challenge. I like to be under pressure. I like to be thrown in at the deep end. And I think that that's been sort of how I've lived my life, you know, thrown in at the deep end of things. And I've really pushed and worked and ground out everything that I've done. So I think for me, that's definitely something I seek out is more of a challenging route than the easy route, which sometimes doesn't help. But
sometimes it's the best way. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Hey, what a night we're having here. We had Albert Elise of the Houston Dynamo who scored in their 2-2 draw with Minnesota. Prior to that, a couple hours earlier on that Saturday, Rachel Daly scoring that spectacular goal. So we got goal scorers in studio. All right, let's talk team now. Let's talk Dash because there is pressure on you guys to make the playoffs. It's 3 years without the playoffs. You need to get into the playoffs in the NWSL. Why is this team different than last year?
I think the chemistry is something that's a lot different than last year. Obviously, I can't speak on previous years other than just watching the NWSL. But the team chemistry is great. You know, I think we all get along very well, which is nice. And I just think that the will to win, you know, and it's shown already. Everyone's disappointed when we lost in preseason, and even though they're friendlies, everyone is really on board with changing that and changing that attitude of a loss isn't okay, and ties aren't okay. And, you know, and it showed, I think, on Saturday for us. You know, a lot of times last year, the Houston Dash of old would have maybe scored early on, got the goal, got comfortable, conceded in the 89th minute, tied or lost. And that's something that I think that we needed to change. And that's something that, you know, Randy's worked on in the offseason.
How does it change? Because it can't just change by a magic wand. How does it change?
Yeah, no, I think it's the attitude. It's buying into it. It's do or die attitude. You know, you throw your body on your line. You win your individual battles. You win your team battles. It starts from the front and for the forwards. That, you know, in this team, we have a lot of forwards. And everyone has to buy into the fact that, you know, even if you don't last the 90, you give everything you've got for 60. You give everything you've got for 20, whatever it is. It starts from the front. And I think that that do or die attitude in terms of defending is something that we have really been sort of, been hammered into us this preseason. And I think that's something we definitely need to work on. I think we got a little bit sloppy with it last year, hence the 6-on-the-bounce, 1-0 defeats in the last 10 minutes or whatever it was. I think, you know, and that's frustrating. We have the ability to score goals. You know, we've got a great attacking presence. So, you know, this team, there's something special about it. And, you know, maybe I'm not too sure on what the special thing is about it yet.
Is it some differing personalities that come in? Because, look, we're watching it with the Houston Dynamo. When the roster gets up, you can't sit here and not say when you look at the Dynamo roster, and I'm relating this to your situation, that, look, Albert Elise, Ramel Kyoto, these guys are not here not to win, and they're not here to use Major League Soccer for anything other than a platform for their futures. And you can tell. The AJ De La Garces, these guys have won cups. You can just tell there is a different ambition and desire. Is that some of the things that have happened with you? Personnel? Are there certain individuals that come in and you say, wow, they lift you?
Yeah, completely. You know, there was a lot of changes made in the offseason and even still to this day that changes are happening. And you look at our roster and there's so many international players. You know, we have Brazilians, we have Irish, we have US, we have English, we have South African. Yeah, it just ranges. Canadian. We have such a big, you know, variety of level of ability, but also personalities. And I think that that's something that everybody is so for this team. Whereas I think last year maybe it was, you know, maybe a bit individual at times. You know, people played a little bit individualistic, and no disrespect to anybody. But I think this year we're playing for the dash. And I said it in one of my preseason interviews. This is a dash that I don't think anyone's ever seen. And I think as well, I think the doubt that people have put on the shoulders of the Houston dash is something that we want to prove wrong. You know, we have no expectations. I see all the rankings of preseason rankings and people putting us dead last or second from bottom. And for us, that's fuel, you know, and it's fuel in the fire. And every day you look at these things and you think, keep doubting, because we'll show you something different. And I think that that's the mentality that we've had, and that's the mentality that we've been put on. But I think everything's changed. Training is so much more competitive. Our environment that we're in is just, you know.
Does that come from new individuals?
Yeah. And I think
more ambitious players that want to reach higher heights?
Absolutely. And we don't settle for low standards here. You know, if you're not going to do the work, you're not going to play. And Randy's made that clear from day one that we came in this year. If you don't put the work in, you're not going to play. And that's something that I think this year people are just fired up, and people just want to be, you know, the people are chomping at the bit to get into the starting lineup and to be playing week in, week out. And the competition is high. So I think that that's great for us. And I do think that that's been a massive change from last season to this season.
Well, week one, you're one of only four teams that won games: Houston, Kansas City, Portland, and North Carolina out of the 10 teams in the league. You won because of a fantastic goal from Rachel Daly, another fantastic goal from Kalia Ojai. And boy, I want to really thank you very much for coming in studio. You're a personable young woman. You're a great representative of the team and the league. And, you know, to come in here, and this is the one thing I want to project out here tonight, and some people are seeing it on Facebook Live, but Rachel comes in here after doing a one-on-one coaching session with a young player in the community, comes right in the studio, has a track suit on. That's something to be admired. So thank you very much for coming in tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So score another one of those. We'll come in again. You know, we can just do this every week if you want.
I'll do my best.
All right. That's Rachel Daly of the Houston Dash. And going to break here, sixth caller right now at 713-780-3776 as I lose my voice. You have a pair of tickets to the Dynamo Sky Blue, Saturday, May 13th. Right now. Excuse me. Houston Dash Sky Blue. I do that often. Dash Sky Blue, sixth caller right now, Saturday, May 13th, to get a pair of tickets. We'll take a Bud Light break right now. Our thanks to Rachel Daly.
ESPN 97.5.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Cognac Garcia stands over. Clips in it off. It's a good ball. It's two. It's a second for the Houston Dynamo. It's speared in by the Panther, Albert Felice.
Oh, yeah, the Panther in studio tonight. Rachel Daly in studio as well. We appreciate them making the effort to come in here. Bud Light knows that moments spent with friends are the ones that really matter, and that late-night stories are best served cold. So as you swing by your friend's apartment, or you're heading to the bar for happy hour, make sure you grab some ice-cold Bud Lights. Make tonight tomorrow's story. Because with Bud Light, you're not just drinking beers, you're building friendships. Bud Light, proud sponsor and official beer of the Houston Dynamo. A couple of things here also to remind you about. Kings Court. It's down in Edo. It's the place to go before Dynamo and Dash games. It's right next to the stadium at 903 Hutchins. It's on the corner of Walker and Hutchins. It's a wonderful spot down there. It's a real soccer watching pub. It's a sports bar and restaurant with 13 TVs. All the EPL matches are there. NFL Sunday Ticket, Dynamo matches, full bar, 24 taps. They got a pool table in there, darts. Trivia night on Wednesdays. Thursdays, it's karaoke night. Friday night's live entertainment. They've got a fusion menu with Indian and British cuisine and a beautiful rooftop patio. It oversees the stadium. It's a great shot if you want to take a photo when you're out with the stadium in the background. There's no better place to do it. than down at the King's Court. So get down there, get over to King's Court. I hang out after Dynamo matches there. It's the place to go before Dynamo and Dash games and post game. Visit the rooftop deck and patio. It sits in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. KingsCourtTX.com. Go down there and say hello to my good friend Jay. Also, let me tell you about Azure Salon in the heart of River Oaks. It's A-Z-U-R. It's in the West Ave shopping area. Stylists at Azure Salon keep me looking sharp for all my TV work. Azure Salon is the place to go. Guys, get in there. Ladies, they have you covered with colors, cuts, extensions. AzureSalon.com, A-Z-U-R, Salon.com. So our thanks to all our great sponsors here. We do appreciate their great support of the show. I do want to mention one more time here. It's very, very important. It's a night with legendary Manchester United striker and midfielder Norman Whiteside. It's also Chelsea's Bobby Tambling, who happens to be one of their all-time leading goal scorers. Yeah, there were players before Frank Lampard and John Terry, who, by the way, is going to leave Chelsea. So there were players before that set sort of the standards for these legendary clubs. June 16th, our good friend, historian, he's a gatekeeper for Manchester United, noted author, Tom Clare. Phone number, 281-812-4805. These two gentlemen are going to tell stories that are amazing. It's a full meal, a raffle, they're auction items. And the night is to benefit pediatric cancer. So you know I deal and involved with pediatric cancer, doing my little piece. We go down and we visit Texas Children's Hospital. We hand out soccer balls and little necklaces to the girls. But when you go down there, you are incredibly touched. You are walking out of there. You are walking out of there with your eyes watering. You are walking out of there with the knowledge that you are one fortunate human being healthy. So if it's in your heart and you can pull off coming to this event on June 16th, please call 281-812-4805. There's going to be a lot of people from the soccer community there. Gordon Jago is coming up, the former Queen's Park Rangers manager. People are coming in from other parts of the country. If you are a soccer fan, if you are a Premier League fan, if you are a Manchester United fan or a Chelsea fan, please make the effort to be there. And if you're in these supporters groups locally, Tom Clare and Jesus Martinez did this for you. And they're bringing in these guys to create a night for you. So get a ticket. Support the efforts that these two have put into this. They've put a lot of work into this. And it does benefit the Curing Children's Cancer Fund, cccfund.org. It'll be the best $135 you've ever spent. You get a full meal, raffle, auction items. There's a whole lot that comes with this, and it is going to be an amazing night. Again, a night with legendary Manchester United striker Norman Whiteside and also Bobby Tambling of Chelsea. June 16th, 281-812-4805. I'm sorry for the hard sell, but you know what? I'm not ashamed to do it, because it is an important night. All right, so more phone calls. Let's take a few. 713-780-3776. Is it time for VAR, for a video assistant referee? Should it be implemented? Do you agree or disagree with it? How much of a factor was the fact that poor officiating played a part in the Bayern Munich-Real Madrid game? Or is that just hard luck and that's the way it goes and you got to accept it? 713-780-3776. Dynamo fans, I got the sense that they were fired up, and I'm going to read a couple of the emails. Are we getting a little ahead of ourselves here? And I'll tell you why. The Dynamo are going to take on San Jose this Saturday. And San Jose, by the way, is in action in New England. Victor Ariza, who helps me with the show. Victor, maybe we can get a score line on that and just jump on here and give the score out. But they were – the San Jose's playing up east on the fake stuff at Gillette Stadium. But I noticed after this Dynamo game, so it was a final 0-0, New England and San Jose. So San Jose is going to come down here playing a full 90 minutes, but happy they took a road point in New England. So it puts a little bit more pressure on the Dynamo. Fans after the 2-2 draw with Minnesota, I think, pretty fired up. And look, nobody's wrong when they say the Dynamo threw 2 points away. Any team that's got a 2-0 lead at halftime, you're expected to win the game, especially at home. But there was a pretty intense, fired up group of people after this, which on one hand I love, and there should be. But I'm wondering, is that being fired up, was that specifically about the Minnesota Dynamo game, or was that based on the last couple of years of a lack of playoffs? And you know, look, we can't beat around the bush. The Dynamo have lost a bit of relevancy. What they have done is they've upgraded the product, and it's exciting with players like Albert Elise, Romel Kyoto, Kubo Torres scoring goals. You go down to BBVA Compass Stadium, you're going to see goals. That's the bottom line. I mean, it was like watching paint dry last year. It was a lack of commitment. There weren't players that took people on. Come on, this is all obvious. I'm not saying anything that you don't know already. So shouldn't we be feeling a little bit better about the entertainment value? I think so. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. 713-780-3776. Glenn says, great interview with Rachel Daly. Got to love her drive. Absolutely agree with you, Glenn. Colin Bentley was reaching out to Pantarita. Love having you on the Dynamo, says Colin Bentley. Jules Santana says, Zidane has helped him develop into the role you're describing. I think that's when I was talking about Cristiano Ronaldo becoming a center forward. Yeah, and it's also a good thing for Zidane. He can save and use Ronaldo in a differing role. Less wear and tear, plus it opens the door for potentially Gareth Bale out wide on the left. Jules Santana went on to say, I was at the Real-Juventus semifinal in 2015. Juventus left me with my mouth wide open in person. This year they are more solid, so I am sure Real Madrid is worrying. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. 713-780-3776. Your thoughts on anything Dynamo. Why is everybody that fired up? Yes, we should be fired up that the Dynamo threw 2 points away. And I love it, and I'm glad the fact that that's being brought out is occurring. That is a healthy thing. There needs to be more pressure on the Dynamo and the Dynamo organization. There needs to be more pressure on all the clubs in Major League Soccer. Some markets have it more than others. It's healthy. It's not a bad thing. You have a platform here to talk about it, so do it. 713-780-3776. Next up for the Dynamo is San Jose this weekend. So your thoughts about it. We also have been talking about, my opinion, the game being decided by officials, Bayern Munich and Real Madrid. Hector says, after a bad or blown call, people usually say, quote, that is just football, until that call decides the game against your team. Then people start thinking seriously about video replay. I don't trust the soccer gods or karma to work it out. So here's a guy who says, you know what? Video technology, it's needed. Let's go to the phone line. Speaking of a good charity, here's another one. Denise Janowski is a good friend of mine. And if you love donuts and helping hungry Houston kids, the third annual Shipley's Donuts Dash benefiting kids meals. It'll be Saturday, April 22nd, a 2-mile course featuring donut-themed obstacles on a family-friendly route near downtown Houston. It's the sweetest fun run in town, to tell you about it. Denise Janowski joins me now. Denise, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Glenn, how are you? Thanks for having me on the show again. I appreciate it.
All right. Platform is yours. Talk to me about Shipley Donuts. Talk to me about helping out kids' meals.
Well, you know what? We have good weather on the forecast. It's this Saturday. We start the race in front of Dynamo Stadium at BBVA Compass Stadium. The race starts at 9 a.m. Registration starts at 8 a.m. $30 for adults, $20 for children. And something super cool for your listeners that I think makes perfect sense, we are partnering with the Dynamo to include a ticket to an upcoming Dynamo game with every race packet. So not only do you get free donuts, free beer if you're 21, you also have the opportunity to attend the Dynamo game as courtesy of Shipley Donuts.
Denise, you're the best. We appreciate it. One more time, where they can sign up.
If you would like to visit Shipley Donuts Dash. It's www.shipley, S-H-I-P-L-E-Y, Donuts, D-O-N-U-T-S, dash.com. All the information is there. We'd love to have you. You can walk up on race day and register, but lots of fun activities, family-oriented morning. Get a little soccer love while you're out there, too.
You're the best, Denise. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming on tonight.
Yep. Have a good evening.
All right. Denise Janowski. Bye-bye. On behalf of Shipley's Donuts and Kids Meals. Let's go quickly to the phone lines. We can get one more in here before we go to break. Ryan, what's on your mind, Ryan? Make that Juan. Juan, I'm sorry. What's on your mind, Juan?
Glenn. This is Juan, Arsenal fan.
Yes, Juan.
Called before, and we've actually met.
Juan, just to let you know, you got 1 minute here. The platform is yours. Fire away.
Okay, thank you. Well, speaking of Arsenal, and you were speaking on healthy pressure on your club, what about the pressure on Arsene Wenger and the club coming from the supporters? Is that healthy? Is there a point when it gets to be too much and nothing is being done? I'm tired of it. What say you, sir?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. And I think, look, it depends what the criteria of the ownership is. It's Stan Kroenke and company. If they're making money hand over fist, they may just stay with the same old, and that could be Arsene Wenger. I don't know. It seems tired to me. It doesn't seem like players are as committed as they should be. I think Alexis Sanchez and Ozil are pining to go somewhere else. Arsenal's having a hard time saying they're a top club anymore. I hate to say that, but I think it is the truth. But when it comes to criteria of teams, we sometimes forget what it is. Maybe it isn't about winning championships. It's just staying in the top four every year and continuing to do business the way we do it because we are a successful business. Fans should always speak out. They should have a voice. And they should also support the positive. It works both ways. All right, right now, quick break. It's a Bud Light break. Sixth caller, you get a pair of tickets to this weekend's Dynamo San Jose game. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff at BBVA Compass Stadium. Right now, sixth caller, pair of tickets to Dynamo San Jose. Coming up, San Antonio FC president, Tim Holt. We're going to talk about why San Antonio should get an MLS franchise.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we're going to wrap it up in style here. We're going to go down I-10 and talk a little San Antonio FC. Before we do that, do you love donuts and helping hungry Houston kids? The third annual Shipley's Donuts Dash benefiting kids meals will be Saturday, April 22nd, a two-mile course featuring a donut-themed obstacles on a family-friendly route near downtown Houston. Shipley's Donuts and their fun run. The Donut Dash is the sweetest fun run in town. Also, let me tell you about Azure Salon in the heart of River Oaks and in the West Avenue shopping area. Stylists at Azure Salon keep me looking sharp for all my TV work. Azure Salon is the place to go. Guys, get to Azure Salon. By the way, ladies, they have you covered with color cuts extensions. AzureSalon.com. And with that, we bring on the president of San Antonio FC, Tim Holt. Tim, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Always a pleasure, Glenn. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening to you, too. Season off to a good start. You're getting nice crowds, entertaining games. I've had a chance to watch some on the internet, and it's been exciting so far.
Thanks. Yeah, it has been a really positive and encouraging start for us. We have on the field Darren Powell, our head coach, and the guys have got 10 points from the first four games, and off the field, you know, three of our four games have been at home, and we sold out the first game, capacity crowd at Toyota Field, and are averaging just over 7,000 fans a game. So it's early days, it's early in the season, but we like the way the first month's gone.
San Antonio FC off to a good start here. All right, so you know I'm going to segue you right into MLS expansion and the possibility of MLS coming to San Antonio. We know that's the goal for you and Spurs Sports and Entertainment. I want to just talk about San Antonio as a market, because I think if we talk San Antonio, we also have to bring in Austin, Texas. And between the two places and that whole corridor, there's like 4.4 million people. So wouldn't this kind of be Austin's team as well?
Yeah, and certainly how we look at it in terms of the catchment area for a Major League Soccer team versus a lower division team would be that you'd be able to capture that entire I-35 corridor. Toyota Field is about 10 miles outside of the urban core of San Antonio, but on a direct line towards Austin. So, you know, we do think that we, you know, with an MLS future, we'd be able to capture both of those markets, not different from the way the Spurs have been able to capture both markets and, you know, most of South Texas, you know, with the fan base that they've created. So we certainly think that's a big plus and a big advantage as part of the case we make for Major League Soccer in San Antonio.
San Antonio, 25th populated city in the United States when it's ranked. All right, tell us some of the other key elements here. I mean, you've already got partially the stadium or most of the stadium in place. You'd probably have to bring it up to spec. Am I correct there?
Sure, yes. Currently the stadium seats just about 8,000 fans. We need to expand it, you know, to anywhere between 18,000 to 22,000 seats. But, you know, you've got that infrastructure built up already. Fans are accustomed to going there. We like the location very much. Demographically, San Antonio looks in 2017 like most of the country will look, you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now, with a growing millennial population, you know, just and it's a really engaged sports town. It's the one thing that, you know, before I had been here and hit the ground about a year and a half ago, that I didn't have a sense as to the, you know, sports fan affinity down here. But it's kind of a big city, a big market that has a small town feel and is very passionate about its local sports. So all the ingredients exist, you know, for San Antonio if we're fortunate enough to have a Major League Soccer future, not just to be making up the numbers, but to be a high-performing MLS team on and off the field.
So when I hear all the attention around Phoenix Rising and this, and Didier Drogba now being involved and Phoenix making a push for MLS, and they signed Sean Wright Phillips, I think Omar Bravo's out there, if I'm correct, they're getting in names. Is part of that about bringing bang and impact, you know, to the media and the attention of MLS? Do you feel like you need any of that? I mean, it seems like you guys you're getting numbers at your games. Your team is performing. It's a city that's got all these other benefits.
Yeah, each market's different, right? And you know, while, you know, you got 12 markets that are, you know, out there publicly and trying to make their case for Major League Soccer, a number of those markets are also currently operating, you know, USL or NASL teams and trying to energize the fan base, you know, in their current league. So certainly what, you know, a club like Phoenix Rising has done during the off season by bringing in those three, you know, real big time known players has, you know, really helped get them better identified, not just in Phoenix and cut through the clutter of a big market and a crowded sports market landscape, but also make some noise nationally. So each group's going to have a different approach. Ours is, you know, I would say perhaps understated might be a word to use, but let's not confuse understated with not aggressive and earnest and very committed, both from an ownership group standpoint, club management standpoint, and city and county standpoint to bring Major League Soccer to San Antonio. So, you know, our focus is on really building this club out, you know, all the way from the top to the bottom, so that when and if we're fortunate enough to hit MLS, we're as prepared as any club's ever been from a club development, facilities development, and overall standpoint to hit the ground running.
Tim Holt, president of San Antonio FC, joining us here on ESPN 97.5 Soccer Matters. What are the main things you have to keep doing at this moment here? Just to, you know, because it feels like every day you got to constantly prove yourself. What is the criteria you believe that might be most important to Major League Soccer when it's unique to your market and the city of San Antonio, and we might even say slash Austin?
Yeah, so I think it's about performance, right? So, you know, if you look at the ownership group and, you know, what MLS has said, it's about facilities and ownership and, you know, and performance. And the ownership group is, you know, not just by my opinion, and I'll admit that I'm biased on this, but the best ownership group in all of American sports. And sort of, you know, affirmed by, you know, what ESPN said and different polls that have been done, you know, over time with people that are in sports, that the Spurs ownership group is, you know, at the top of the list. So certainly a big asset for us in terms of doing that. The performance of the team and continuing to build the fan base, the brand, everything that we do on that front, certainly. The facilities piece matters, which is why we're spending a considerable amount of time making sure that we can come up with the best expansion plan for Toyota Field in the eventuality of MLS. And then the one thing that I think, you know, shouldn't go overlooked is just a proven history and track record of managing professional sports franchises in different sports and at all kinds of levels that the Spurs have, whether it's the NBA Spurs, certainly, but also the AHL Rampage and the Austin Spurs and the D-League and the Stars and now SAFC. You know, this, you know, operating this team, you know, at a Major League Soccer level, yeah, it's going to require additional resources and scaling up and some unique expertise that comes with, you know, Major League Soccer and pro soccer in this country. But it's not going to be this quantum leap like it might be if there were no experience in doing that. So these are all things that I think institutionally the Spurs bring to the table in a great market like San Antonio, where you've got public support, you know, from the county and the city, you know, which is very positive. So all these are very positive signs.
All right. You mentioned the ESPN Ultimate Standings, and I just want my listeners to understand what this is. This is an independent survey that is done on teams in the NBA, NFL, NHL, Major League Baseball. And they rank the clubs and the organizations, not just on winning and losing and titles and coaching and talent, but all, you know, the game day experience, fan relations, how affordable the games are, the experience in their stadiums, and the way their ownership handles the group, right? And SS&E is always on top of it, right?
Yeah, they certainly are. And so, you know, to be able to apply all of those strengths and apply them in a and sort of shape it in a soccer authentic way is really special for all of us that are involved with San Antonio FC and the club. And so we're really enjoying it. This project's now 2 years old. We're in the second year, so it's not fully 2 years old, but we're in the second season, and we learned a lot in the first season, and we're learning a lot from the Spurs and the people that are around us and immersed in that culture, and it makes you better every day. And, you know, we're just really excited for the future, but we're enjoying the present at the same time.
Tim, thank you for coming on. By the way, a big thank you to you and San Antonio FC for being a part of our pediatric cancer event in June, where we're going to have a camp. Your players are going to come out and all for pediatric cancer and pediatric cancer awareness. So we thank you very much for that.
Glenn, we're excited, and we look forward to that weekend and supporting the event. It's a great cause.
It's going to be awesome. Tim, thank you very much. Continued success with San Antonio FC. We'll check in again with you real soon.
Thanks, Glenn.
All right. That's Tim Holt, the president of San Antonio. How awesome would that be if San Antonio had a team? And rivalries could be created here in Texas, a sense of regionalization. It would be wonderful. All right, that wraps it up here tonight. As we wrap it up, a quick moment for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT, 713-322-4878. Doesn't matter if your accident is car, boat, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler, the Daspit Law Firm and John Daspit will treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com. Daspit Law Firm is going to work for you 24-7. Fight for your right for compensation with the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. For Tyler Scott, everybody involved, you listening in, all our guests here tonight, thank you very much. Podcasts are at podcastarena.com. Also available on iTunes. And until next Wednesday, I'm Glenn Davis. Good night, everyone.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.